Hello, and welcome to It's All About Choices. This is the show where my guests and I discuss our lives and our careers framed through the choices we've made, some good and some bad. My name is David Barrow, and I work as an enterprise service management consultant. This year marks my 30th year in the workplace. It's a career that started upon leaving school with very few qualifications and nothing more than a passing interest in IT. I didn't set out to do this job. In fact, I didn't really set out to do many of my jobs. But those 30 years have flown by, and it's through a mixture of luck, judgment, some great mentors, and some questionable choices that I find myself where I am today. I joined the last series of It's All About Choices. My guests and I reflected on the choices we've made that had led us up to today, as well as our future choices. But in this series, we begin with a special and important episode. It's themed around the choice to seek, accept, or offer allyship. Now, if I'm honest, I didn't really know what allyship stood for until one of today's guests helped me understand this late last year. And this in turn has led to my discovering so much about myself. And more importantly, it's led to me working with today's panel to deliver this conversation on allyship. I am joined by four extra special guests today, all of whom are members of Reed's Women in Technology Mentoring Program. We've got Georgie Ottubella, a senior service delivery leader who specializes in developing, empowering, and mentoring others. We have Jag Sohal, an IT business partner and early careers myth buster. Lucy Grimwade, a coach, consultant, podcaster, author, and public speaker. And Kevin Dainty, the head of executive search at Reed and the man who started the Reed and Women Techno sorry, the We Reed Women in Technology Mentoring Program. Apologies. So please join us as we discuss the choices that led to us seeking or offering allyship, and also as we share our views on the importance of allyship for each and every one of us, no matter our background or our profession. If you are watching live via YouTube or LinkedIn, please feel free to drop by, say hello, and ask a question. We'll do our best to get to them. After all, it's all about choices. Welcome. It's great to see you all here, and thank you for joining me on It's All About Choices.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Thank you. Hello. So, Georgie, if I could start with you, please, if we could just all introduce ourselves to one another and to the audience, that would be great.
Of course. Thanks for having me today, David. So I'm Georgie. I have been in the tech industry getting on for 20 years now. 12 of those have been more specifically in service delivery management. I am really passionate about mentoring and being a women in technology advocate. And for me, it's really about giving those that experience and advice that I didn't have when I was starting out in tech, and hopefully shaping the future for young people that are moving into tech and don't really know what career options they've got or what direction that they want to take.
Thanks, Georgie. Thank you very much for coming today. And Jack, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself.
Thank you, David, for inviting me along today. So I'm Jag Sohal. I've been working in the IT industry for about 15 years. I started off, well, I always had a passion. So my degree background was in computer science, which came with questions back then as well. Why are you doing this? So that was a case where I thought, well, I'm gonna do it anyway because it's my passion, and it's continued into vocation, a thriving vocation, starting with a technical background, moving into systems analysis, business analysis, and now business relationship management. So I am an IT business partner, and my volunteer capacity, I've been a co-founder of the UK IT Business Relationship Managers UK network as well. And also with the British Computing Society, the Chartered Institute for IT, through a series of volunteering activities that I was doing on early careers. And it's really kind of been really successful, and it's brought about a lot of engagement as well. So to be appointed the BCS Early Careers Ambassador is a great privilege, and I really like to continue that. Kind of raising the voice and being very positive about all the opportunities that are out there in tech.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for coming along today. And Lucy, would you mind introducing yourself, please?
Of course. Hi, everybody. I'm Lucy. I've also worked in tech for probably coming up to just over 15 years now. Did a degree in computer science, just like Jag. Had questions, just thought I'd see how I get on. And I've had somewhat of a linear path, really, over the last kind of 10-ish years, kind of working in service delivery. So I really started on the service desk and just progressed really quickly up the career ladder. But over the last 5 years, I've kind of started to build myself somewhat of a multifaceted career. And a bit like what David was saying in the intro, I don't just do my kind of 9-to-5 job now. I'm also a coach, a mentor, a speaker. I'm now an author as well. And I'm super passionate about encouraging more women into this space, into the tech space. And thank you for having me today.
Thank you. And before we move on to Kevin, I just want to share a comment that we've had already. And it's from Mary Jo Moore saying how much she loves the sign behind you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Kevin, last but definitely not least, please introduce yourself.
Oh, I'd happily take the least mantle in this audience, definitely this crowd. So my involvement in the tech industry is actually as a recruiter. So I've worked for Reed for 14 years, both in terms of hands-on technical recruitment and senior appointments. And it's kind of through the very obvious lack of diversity in the tech market and the demand that our clients have on us to try and help them change that, that I have been getting involved in these kind of conversations and started to be recognized, I guess, as an ally to a few different groups, but most notably to Women in Tech through the program that you, I named to trip you up, David, the Reed Women in Tech mentoring program, which now has approaching 2,500 members. So, and hopefully we can grow that membership today by some of these people that are watching the session.
Thanks, Kevin. I think it was the nerves that tripped me up, to be perfectly honest. It's funny how when you start talking, suddenly you get tongue-twisted with nerves. So for us to begin, I think it's really important that we kind of discuss allyship and what it actually is. I said in my intro that I always wanted to help, but I didn't quite know what allyship was. And we'll talk more about that later. But I think if we could just begin by really understanding what allyship is and finishing this sentence. And Georgie, I'm going to pick on you first, if I may, if you could define for us what allyship is from your perspective.
Of course. I think for me, it's that safe space of having people to speak to. I mean, I've certainly used it over the years to share some of the experiences I've had and some of the challenges that I've faced. And it made me realise that I'm not alone in some of the experiences that I've faced, some negative, some positive. Personally, it encouraged me to get involved in it twofold. So I'm there to seek to develop myself, but also to share some of the experiences that I've got and hopefully pass on some wisdom.
Brilliant. Thank you. And Jack, allyship is what from your perspective?
This will get harder for the others as we continue.
It will.
But allyship for me, it's quite an emotive topic, really. But allyship is really showing up for individuals. So, you know, and making that connection, then continuously showing up for them. So being there on a frequency and a consistency that works in that relationship. To offer that free flow conversation, you know, there's no model to this, which is quite refreshing in a way. And it's really to help, you might help directly or indirectly, just help journey toward building up that knowledge, giving that individual some strength, that focus and confidence as well. So that's what can be achieved when you apply allyship.
Absolutely. And Lucy, you are the unnamed person that helped me understand what allyship is, so you should be well versed in answering this question. Allyship is.
Yeah, thank you. I think for me, the more I learn about allyship and the more I experience allyship as well, for me it's about being more coach-like. Naturally, as an accredited coach, I probably am going to say that, but there's so many kind of matching up when it comes to coaching and allyship. because you've got the listening without judgment. You've got not going straight in finding a solution. It's about seeking that permission. It's about setting people up for success and allowing people to tap into their potential. And it's exploring to understand, not necessarily exploring. Again, it's not going into that solution mode. It's not going, putting that fix it hat on. It's going there and seeking that permission. Well, how can I help you? How can I help you find that way? And that's something that David and I's relationship has been, and him as an ally to me, that's the kind of experience that I've had. It's that partnership. It's about inspiring. It's about recognizing. And it's about championing that person. And it's also about challenging bias as well.
Thank you, Lucy. And Kevin, so you've got a lot to follow there. If you can find something that hasn't already been said, you've done well. What is allyship from your perspective?
I think that the textbook definition is kind of supporting and advocating with people from marginalised or minority groups. But I believe that the kind of fundamentals of allyship and being an ally, pretty much the fundamentals of being a decent person. So I think what I would champion and advocate for is not necessarily selective allyship, where you necessarily define and pick a group of people you're going to go and, you know, fly the flag for, but it's just generally operating in a way that, you know, you would like to be treat people like you'd like to be treated, standing up for and speaking out if you see anybody or any group of people being, you know, treated in a way that is marginalizing them or you know, disadvantaging them, and just generally being a decent person.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And I completely agree. I think that's the key, isn't it? It's understanding if you can help somebody and then being there for them to help when they need it. But also,
yeah. And I think especially in this day and age, we're more and more aware that we don't all fit into a nice little box. So, you know, I am a white man in the tech industry, but what else am I? Like, you know, I might be neurodiverse. I might be LGBT. You don't know just by looking at me. So, you know, you can't go around treating people by their labels, and it's about treating everybody as fairly as you can.
Absolutely. Thank you. To Kevin, I'm going to stick with you because you set up the Read Women in Technology program. And see, I said it there, no stumbling, nerves are gone. But why else did you get involved in allyship? What stimulated you to get involved?
Yeah, like you say, you know, coming back to my original statement, I'd like to think that my general demeanour and the way that I treat people is that I'd be recognised and allied to most groups. But I guess the specific reason that I know you guys and I've been invited to this call is because of the Women in Tech programme. And very honestly, it came about through work. You know, it was that direct challenge that I had from our customers as to what are you personally and as a company doing to help us attract the type of people that we want to see on our shortlists. You know, we've worked with recruiters before and they're very well connected, but they seem to be connected to the same type of people. And, you know, we recognize that we need diversity of thought in our businesses. We don't need the same old. So we want to work with recruiters that have those networks and have those approaches to engage different people. So, you know, it was kind of a challenge that was thrown down to me to say, what can you do to be more of an ally and to create those networks? But on reflection, you know, why did I kind of take that as a personal obligation of mine and something that I was passionate about? Probably comes a lot back to my upbringing. So I was raised by a single mom. I've got three sisters and seven nieces. And so absolutely anything I can do to make sure that they're making a good living and taking a burden off me supporting them is definitely something I'm keen to do.
Thank you. And if you're listening or watching live and you've got an opinion on what allyship is or anything else, do feel free to drop that in the comments and we'll do our best to address it as we go through the show. So Lucy, I know you're involved in allyship both as a mentor and a mentee. I don't want to steal your thunder, but why did you get involved?
I got involved in allyship because I've had my own issues of being treated fairly badly by male colleagues throughout my career, from I was going to just say like everyday sexism to having a bias because of my age or because of the way I look or because of what I choose to wear. And I started to build up a bit of a view that I hated working for a man. And I found it really hard for me to, even when I was interacting, and I've shared this with David, like even before I met David, I had this kind of in my head, this stereotype, oh, it's just going to be another white man, another service delivery manager. And it's been, I've been surprised. I've been very lucky because I've been able to move around with my career and stuff that I've done. And I had a bit of a light bulb moment. And it wasn't just me meeting David. It was me meeting a lot of other fantastic men that have been in my career, my life over the last kind of 5 years. And they've actually wanted to show up and be part of a solution, and they've wanted to help me, and they've pushed me, and they've questioned me, like all in the good way. They've challenged and cheerleaded. And I realize that men actually want to be part of that solution. Men want to contribute and help. They haven't got these motives, these ulterior motives that, you know, things that I've experienced. And actually all of them are shocked, like horrified when I tell them the stories of what I've experienced, the genuine horror on their face. And I think it's really important that we talk about that. So for me, I've noticed that I've developed, I've seen a huge difference in me, not just with my career and my success in my career and professionally, but personally as well. I feel a lot more safer, more secure, knowing that, you know, I've had this initial judgment and now that's changed a little bit. So what I kind of will finish up and summarize with it is, for me, this allyship piece has turned into somebody sharing a piece of a pie with me. And I've said this before, if you've seen some of the stuff I've talked about before, I say this a lot, but it's when I've worked with David, he hasn't just like given me kind of a piece of the pie. He's gone, well, here's all the ingredients, so I can go off and like bake all of my own kind of pies or cakes or whatever I want that to look into. And that's why I want to be part of allyship.
Thank you, Lucy. And I would just advocate what you said around, you know, how you've learned. I've learned a lot from working with you and being part of this program too. So I think it works both ways, as somebody offering or seeking allyship. So Jack, and why did you get involved in allyship?
Thank you, Lucy. Your baking analogies remind me Bake Off starts on Tuesday. Very helpful. So I've got involved, similar vein to Lucy's kind of view, really. It's almost, why is it so common? But knowing and getting quite cynical that men are supporting men out there. So, and it's been going on for a very long time, out on the golf courses, all the smoking rooms, and, you know, and that's sort of spilled into modern day. So I think a lot of us, you know, on reflection can say there's been that element of discrimination, to say that there are IT WhatsApp groups, and I said, oh, there's a group, okay, it's just the men, it's just the architects, you know, okay, so okay, don't you know, you're not going to be invited to that, or there's a do going on, like it's just, you know, it's men drinking after work. So, or there used to be a lunch, and there was no women in IT going to this lunch, and it almost took, you know, 9 months to a year to say, you know, we can invite Jag to this lunch. Bizarre. So I see the problem, but I want to know how I can make things better. So to publicize and be on forums like this, to be known that there are women who are happy to build those allyship networks and go for a coffee or go for a walk, go for a meal, you know, offer up our time, that going back to my, you know, passion for volunteering my time and skills to support that, because I think we need to help in a way, as Lucy said before, in a non-judgmental and human-to-human way, as men have been doing. I know that I'm fortunate in my network, when I've had challenging times, that I have so many allies around me now. And so that's been really, really positive to know that, again, there are now men in my ally network, you know, who can help. Again, speak to me as an individual. So it's almost like she's not just a female in IT, you know, she's an individual. So understanding the layers and complexity is important, and again, no bias. So, you know, an ally then also, it's important, and I've got involved because they carry some responsibility. I feel an ally, whether they realise or not, are making a contribution to the economic objective that we have, to ensure that women and minority groups can secure work, can remain in work, and thrive over the course of their journey as well.
Such a great message, and true message around being able to thrive and being given those opportunities, especially. Georgie, why did you get involved in allyship?
So for me, it was really around the lack of support that there was for me when I started out in tech. Some of my career, I've been really fortunate to have opportunities put in front of me where I was able to grow. But along the way, that I've seen there's been some horrendous comments of things like, you've got this job because you're a woman, because of how you look, you can't rack servers, you can't do desk moves. I can do all of those things. And I want to, you know, be able to challenge that stereotype, but encourage others to do so. And I didn't know about groups like this kind of going back 15 to 20 years. So it, for me, it's really about giving back for the next generation. And even more so, once I became a mother, I thought, I don't want my daughter to face this in 15 years time of being told what jobs she can and can't do, or being led down, if she wants to go into tech, being led down a path of, oh, you should look at business analysis, you don't have to get your hands dirty, or you should look at programming because you can sit behind a desk. I'm like, actually, no, you can go and do whatever it is you want to do. If you want to be practical and you want to be hands-on, this is what that looks like. And, you know, this is the path that I took and others can take. And it's just about really not being limited. So giving people that voice, really, and dispelling some of the myths that are out there. And also, probably somewhat selfishly, it's really rewarding for me. I've mentored a few women over the years through the Read Women in Tech Network. And it's so rewarding. But I also do it kind of every day in my career, working with some of my colleagues that are younger. Some of them are first jobbers, kind of straight out of university. So it's being able to really help and guide them, not just through tech, but through the working world and what, you know, what interacting with other business people looks like.
Thanks, Georgie. And I think if I can add to that, you mentioned about mentoring younger people. I find as well, it helps keep me relevant, if I'm perfectly honest. I am that white, middle-aged, middle-class male, and working with younger people helps me selfishly keep myself relevant, understand what's going on, and be available to help them learn some of the lessons that I unfortunately didn't learn when I was younger. I think we've all said it, not repeat some of the mistakes I've made. And before we move on to the next topic, I just want to share some of the comments. So I did throw this on screen, but I just had to show it again. Matt from the States, loving our pie metaphor. And also, we've had some really good contributions from Simone. So I'll read these out for those listening later. But Simone Jo Moore says how she was left out of social business networking events by fellow managers because she was the only woman. I think that goes back to Jag's point and how isolating that is. Simone's almost commented on what she thinks of in terms of allyship, which is to not necessarily be a friend, although that can obviously happen, but having someone you can rely on to give help and support when others are opposing you, and also a champion in some respects. And thank you, Amy, for your comment too. Amy has said that allyship for her is giving your voice for others, speaking up and supporting others. And supporting others in something you may not have experience and knowledge in, but doing the right thing. And I think that comes back to what Kevin was saying, just being a good human being. It's can be that simple. So thank you all for those comments, though. They're greatly appreciated. So I'm going to move on to the next topic, which is something that we're going to cover this from two angles. We're going to cover seeking allyship and offering allyship and the difficulties they face and or you face when looking to do that. And I'm going to start with you, Jag, if you wouldn't mind, around why seeking allyship can actually be challenging. As you know, we've talked about why it's good, but actually seeking it, how it can be challenging.
Yeah, I think the initial step can be challenging. So going back to maybe 15 years prior when I was early on in my career, it could be hugely challenging. You could have feelings of not being worthy, or intimidation can kick in, be in front of people like such as experienced professionals and things like that. And I think most women and minority groups can often feel this way because of the patriarchy system and discrimination that those groups can experience either directly. And I know we've touched on some actual direct examples of that, but also indirectly through that kind of system of feeling, then a bit fearful of putting yourself out there and putting yourself forward. And also, it's a challenge because I think the industry has to shift. So if I'm looking for work as a mother who's got to have flexibility, maybe work from home a lot more as well, I don't think a lot of our roles in tech can often accommodate that, or there's a whole culture barrier around that. So being an ally, you can get stuck because you want to help that person, but you can understand from a woman's point of view, you know, where are these opportunities going to lie? So there's some more work to be done in that space. But there are networks that are available. And then if you simply show up and attend, and if you feel comfortable, as I've done, you know, over the years, just sharing your story, your ambitions, and usually someone is happy to help. And much like Kevin's groups that he runs on a weekly basis, drop-in sessions, what a friendly space, and what done on a consistent way, so you know that, you know, you can show up and meet people as well. And soon enough, you can identify a buddy, which can lead to that kind of allyship. Also, the professional institutes as well, that is built on members. So it's not the institute itself, it's the hundreds of members that you can kind of get access to support you as well. But the more I think you do to promote yourself, it's more likely you're likely to land in that friendship and then into an ally relationship as well. But I would say that my allies are individuals that I've met for potential mentoring chats. Then we've just become allies off the back of that. You know, a previous manager of mine, no longer, you know, a manager of mine, but fantastic ally again. So they can come in all kind of guises, really. But you just know when you found the right ones.
Thank you, Jack. And Georgie, do you have anything to add to that in terms of seeking allyship being challenging?
I'd really echo what Jack said. For me personally, I felt a bit vulnerable when I started out. I mean, kind of 18 months or so ago, I felt a bit stale in my career. And I knew I needed to do something, but didn't know where to start. And it's that a bit of a journey of self-reflection, which also kind of kicked in a bit of imposter syndrome for me of, oh, am I worthy of doing this? Is this as far as I'm going to go? You know, I'm a mum now. Should I just accept that this is my lot in life? And it was actually through kind of showing up to the Women in Tech calls each week and stuff that I developed some relationships. And as a result, I've had some mentoring myself. I've developed a couple of coaching relationships. And it's made the world of difference. So say transformational, but that taking that initial step, it wasn't easy. And speaking on some of the calls, I was a bit terrified, to be honest. But I'm glad I did. So I'd say to anyone that's considering it, just do it. Even if you don't participate, just turn up and listen. And when the time is right, you know, add your contribution because it's valuable. Even if you're the one seeking the help and assistance, you've probably got something really valuable to add. And I've made some great friends, some great allies, and probably some friendships that will stay with me for a very long time.
Georgie, and I think that is, you know, incredibly true. Those calls that you mentioned that Kevin hosts, the community coffees, I've seen so many people come on and just be in the background and have a brief introduction of themselves and then stay quiet. But over weeks and months, I've seen them develop and say more and contribute more and grow in confidence. And it's, I would never really say it to them sort of face to personally on the call, but if it was face to face, I would. And it's lovely to see that. It's really nice to see people grow. I would also say, if I may, around seeking allyship, it's also knowing who to go and speak to and where to go. So we've talked about the program, and I think we'll make sure we share that after the event. But also, kind of looking for somebody that can actually be your ally, that can help you, that has an understanding. They don't need to have been in your shoes, but looking for the right person. And I'm going to add some light. It's the truth, but I look back now and laugh. I remember being a lot younger than I am now. I can just about remember those days. But the internet, believe it or not, did exist. And I remember trying to find an ally in Formula One. I was trying to find like Formula One team leaders to be my ally in technology. And I was just pitching at the wrong people, and I'm still to this day looking for a mentor in Formula One in the hope that I could somehow finally crack it. But I think the serious point is to look around you and understand who could be your ally, who could help you, and choose appropriately, not go on a wild goose chase like I did looking for people in Formula One to help me when I was a service desk analyst. It's never going to work. And on that note, I'd like to then kind of move on to the next point around actually offering allyship being a challenge. And I'm going to just start with this one, if I may, and then hand over to Lucy and Kevin. So I've been a mentor for the British Computer Society, which Jack mentioned earlier, for a few years now. And I've been a mentor to people similar to me in a similar field of work to me now for many years. So people that have worked for me or people in service management. But getting involved in helping in the Women in Technology program as a specific example was something I had to spend a lot of time thinking about, because I was wondering if I'd be adding to the problem, if I would be putting myself as a male in that position of pseudo-dominance and so on. And it took me a long time to really consider whether I was doing it for the right reasons, whether others, probably more foremost in mind, would think I was doing it for the right reasons. And Lucy touched on this earlier. And that was really, I think, the first conversation you and I had, wasn't it, Lucy, where we were actually introduced by Matt, another member of the programme. And I was straight up and said to you, I'd spent a long time trying to figure out if I wanted to get involved because I was worried if I'd be adding to the problem. And I think that is a real challenge around offering allyship, because you need to know you're doing it for the right reasons. And in my case, you need to really dispel what others might think and just do it. I don't know whether Lucy or Kevin, you've got anything you'd like to add to that.
Yeah, I think really, David, I was going to kind of say something similar just around from the conversations that we've had, but you're not the only one that feels that way. You know, I've worked with some amazing men in my career, and they have this imposter syndrome, like, oh, I want to be there and I want to show up, but like, am I good enough? Can I help you? And I think it really is down to organisations, really, if I'm honest, not allowing that culture of kind of that help and allyship. And I'm seeing a lot more now organisations developing like allyship programmes, which I think is amazing and incredible. And then hopefully lots more organisations can see what they're doing and, like, you know, do that as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that feeds into that caution that maybe you felt originally, David, around, oh, can I, you know, should I be doing this? Am I stepping on anybody's toes here? And then that kind of feeds into kind of another point around, and this might be a little bit unpopular with what I'm about to say, warning, I think that there's still this kind of laddish culture that we've got. And some of the chaps that I've worked with have said to me, oh, what are people going to say? And stuff that has been said to them, you know, inappropriate things, which I'm not going to repeat here now. And also it's not for me to say, but that's going to put them off. So you're already feeling like an imposter. You're already feeling like, I can't add to this. And then you've got your mates or your colleagues saying, oh, why are you doing that for? Da 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 da, read between the lines there, folks. You know, that's gonna be a challenge. And then we're really, you know, selfishly, we're losing out, you know, women here on this panel, we're losing out from potentially working with fantastically talented men who have been very successful in their careers or just want to kind of help, kind of, you know, see that there's an issue here, want to be part of the solution. But, you know, it's that age old thing, oh, what are the people going to say? So that's what I'd probably say back to that.
Yeah, and to reiterate this point, I think the challenges all come down to perception, but from two sides. So the first one is, what is going to be the perception of the people I'm trying to be an ally for? And I'll steal what Lou said in their intro in regards to the coaching approach. I think, yeah, absolutely. If you go around telling people you're going to help them and making grand statements on their behalf, you might get a reaction that you're not expecting. But if you turn up, you're there, you're making yourself available, you're asking questions and listening to the responses, and then if it's appropriate, going, oh, actually, I can do something to change this, I can add value here. Then that's the approach that I would take. we're quite lucky these days that most companies, or even outside of companies with the groups that like when we've got, there are lots of spaces where, you know, they are championing for these causes. And most of those, I'd say without fail, most of those are inclusive and inviting of people that don't necessarily identify as being part of that group. So, you know, if you're in an organization, they've got a BAME network, they've got a women network or an LGBT network, whatever it is, show up, listen to the conversations, ask questions, be honest and say, how can I help? Like, do you need any help from me or not? And if the answer is resounding no, then they don't force the issue, but I'm pretty sure it won't be a no. And I think there's a duty here from us all to be allies, but I think there's also a duty from us to accept allyship. So I think if you see somebody that's trying to do the right things, don't discourage it. If you think they're trying to do the right things, but they're doing the wrong thing, like advise them and coach them on how they can maybe adjust their tact a little bit. But I think it's a real shame when I hear examples of people that would be great allies having one negative reaction and then it's stopping them. So Lucy spoke at an event that we ran not long ago, and one of our panelists was one of the male mentors from our program, and 50, 60 people in the room were delighted that he was there to hear his experience. He's had mentors through our program and throughout his career that have been delighted to get his help. He's done things in his team to transform the way that they operate so they can have more women in the team and they can be more successful. But one person said something negative to him and he started to question, oh, am I the right person to be doing this? And the answer is a resounding yes, you are. But that one negative comment was putting him off. So I think that's something we should all be mindful of, is let's not derail people that are trying to do the right things. And then the second one is, what's the perception of the people outside of that group and the people that are in my group? And coming back to that laddies culture, you know, I've got mates that, you know, they're the lads, and I've got colleagues who are the lads. And when I came out of to start running this women gender initiative, yeah, there was banter, there was comments, there was things which they probably said in jest, but if I wasn't thick-skinned, I might have gone, you know what, it's not worth doing this. But I think my experience is that over the 4 years of running this network, I can probably think of two women that have challenged me on why I'm doing it, out of, like I say, more than 2,000 members that we've got. So, you know, the odds are in our favour. And I think that almost everybody that's ever, like, jokingly suggested, or, don't care, why are you doing that? You know, it's not in that group, have woken up and realised, like, the value that it's adding and all those kind of things. So, yeah, my advice is don't be put off. And if you're looking for a way into it, identify a safe space where it's designed to be supporting those groups and just go and ask questions and see what you can do.
Thank you, Kevin. And a few moments ago, I think Matt dropped this, and when we were talking about kind of selecting the right ally or finding the right person, I think it's so true. You know, anyone can say they are an ally, but that doesn't necessarily mean they can be your ally. And that makes me think of one of the challenges that I thought of and I failed to mention at the beginning of this piece, was also the ability to say, I know how you feel, or I've been in your shoes. And there are so many scenarios where I cannot say that. But what I can do is listen, turn up, support. And I think that's another one to really consider when looking to offer allyship. It doesn't have to be somebody similar or the same as you. It can just be somebody completely different, as long as you're willing to listen, learn, and really turn up. But don't always think you have to have stood in their shoes to be able to help them. It helps, obviously, but it isn't the be-all and end-all. And I think that's a really important message that Matt helps us share there. So we've talked a lot so far about what allyship is, why we got involved, and the challenges. But we want to talk about the next steps in a few moments, but I just want to throw this into the mix of our conversation. What's been great about being part of this program, but also many of us are part of different mentoring programs and allyship programs. What's been great about that? And before we go and cover that, I've got a question actually that I think is also worth putting to the panel before we cover that. And it's from Simone. How do you describe a safe space in allyship? What is it we need to be looking for in one when we're trying to find it?
If I am to interject with that, sorry, only because I wanted to bring it back to my kind of coaching relationship, and part of the coaching qualifications that I've done is all about creating that safe space. It's about having a contract. And I recently did I've done two LinkedIn courses as well, which I'm happy to share at the end, kind of attach it onto LinkedIn here so you can see it, and to the show notes for those who are listening to this on catch up. It's all about kind of having a contract with that person around, you know, we do stuff, a lot of stuff on Zoom and calls now, so that's kind of maybe a little bit different. But if you're meeting somebody face to face, you know, what's going to be most comfortable for you? Do you want to go and, you know, like physical space, go and have it in a public space, like go to a coffee shop or in a meeting room that's got loads of windows? You know, what's, you need to ask that person. So if you're the ally and you know, you ask, you need to set that contract, set those boundaries with that person to understand what their safe space is, because what's safe to me might be different for Georgie, right? So
yeah, absolutely. I'd say for me it's the trust element. So particularly in some of the coaching that I've done, I've said things that are particularly vulnerable that I've not said to anyone, and when we've talked about things like confidence issues and imposter syndrome, and I've delved back into my career and some of my personal experiences around where some of this has come from, it's kind of dealing with that. It's almost trauma. And it's that trust that what I've said isn't going to be repeated. I'm not being judged for how I feel. And it can be resolved. So, yeah, I'd say the safe space equates to trust for me.
And you can create that super easily with just a few questions. Like at the beginning of your conversation, it can just be like, you know what, anything you talk about is just between you and I. It's not, I'm not going to go and like post it all over social media. You know, feel free to say as much or as little as you want. If I ask you any questions and I'm making you feel uncomfortable, please tell me, because I want to be the best ally I can be possibly for you. You know, and maybe outline, oh, I'm super curious, so I might ask questions that, you know, if I'm offending you, please let me know, because I'm learning too. And it's about you as an ally to be just as vulnerable as that person that's receiving your allyship.
Yeah,
I agree. I hope this comes across from, obviously, that we work together with mentor and mentee Lucy, that it's about understanding what the boundaries are and figuring those out at the very beginning and being honest with one another. And also, I think Kevin will probably be too shy to say it, but as part of the, and this isn't, we're not here, by the way, to promote the Women in Technology program solely, but as part of the program, as part of the program, that is an incredibly safe space where the mentee guides the relationship. And there's a whole platform called Guider, which sets up that first meeting, helps both parties understand what their accountabilities and responsibilities to one another are. And I found, as a mentor of maybe 20 odd years, I found that platform incredibly useful to help me guide those vulnerable situations, because it is a position of vulnerability seeking allyship, as somebody that seeks it myself.
I'd agree with both of those points. Looking at our program, because I think it's slightly different to some of the organic relationships that will happen in the workplace and through friendship groups and things, because it is all about connecting to a stranger. And the elements that I'd say that kind of create that safe space and that feeling of safeguarding is the fact that, you know, any mentors that join the platform, coming people coming from outside of that women tech community, so male allies, reference checks to make sure that, you know, other women have had positive experiences of dealing with that person, so that anyone coming in is like, okay, I know that this is not just some random person that signed up on this platform. It's up to our mentees to identify the person they want to approach, so that we're not forcing any relationships. It's off their back to identify the people that they are interested in connecting to. A code of conduct and a mentoring contract, so that when they start the relationship, it's kind of between the two of you to discuss what are those rules of engagement. And come back to Lucy's point, you know, are we going to meet in person? Are we going to just keep it virtual because I'm more comfortable with that scenario and all those kind of things? But also, I think it's a safe space for the allies, because they aren't in a position where they're imposing themselves on anybody and saying, hey, I'm going to help you out. They're offering their support. They're there to say, if you want to talk to me, I'm here to talk to you. And then waiting for that person to approach them. So I think, you know, my biggest hurdle, if I was trying to become a male ally now, would be, how do I approach those strangers and say, I want to help you out? Well, actually, we create the platform now where you can publish you're an ally and said, I'm here for you, and wait for that person to come and ask for help.
Yeah, absolutely. And Simone, for those listening back, Simone's just saying thank you for sharing and the specific of things like the contract and knowing what to ask and boundaries. And I feel bad because I keep coming to Matt's comments a few minutes after he's made them, so I'll put this back into context. Matt was thanking you, Kevin, for sharing your experiences around that lavish culture and so on earlier and saying how much he really needed to hear this. Matt's in the United States, and for anyone interested, Matt's a service management genius, and he's going to be in the UK in a few weeks, so I'm hoping I might be able to rope him into one of these in the future. Put you on notice there, Matt. So I was just about to ask a moment ago about what's great about allyship. You know, what have we as a panel found has been really, really helped us, really, you know, gave us that spring in our step and that help that we needed to go and do that thing that we were thinking about or to solve that issue that we were facing. And I'm just going to open that up to the panel, whoever wants to go first, because it wasn't the question that I put on our pre-order.
So I would say, for me, it's been transformational. I have grown in confidence through receiving some mentorship and allyship and coaching this year. And it's given me the confidence to go on and do things differently in my career, and also change the approach to how I mentor people. I definitely listen a lot more now rather than saying, actually, I can help you do this. Go and read this. Go away and do that. It's more about helping people self-reflect and come to the conclusions themselves. So yeah, it's changed how I offer it, but grown in confidence, like, you can't put a figure on it. It's just been brilliant.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think it's addictive in a way, sort of providing allyship and receiving it as well. So once you start to as I said, early careers, not I didn't do it so much, but as I grew in confidence to kind of maintain those relationships. And, you know, I feel really proud that I've achieved that, and I've got a circle around me. And, okay, so we're in a male-dominated industry. The majority of them are men, and I'm really thankful for that. So something's ignited in them to know that, you know, to be there sort of for me when I need those conversations as well. So it's a massive confidence boost, and I think it can be, it like I said, transformative when it comes to your career journey, what next steps you want to make, how you might make a leap into another role in IT, for example.
I think for me, building on Jack's point about it being addictive, I'd say it's contagious, and that's my favorite thing, is that you know, by some very small actions from myself, and the knock-on effect of that is that other people are now helping other people. So, you know, you guys touched on it. You know, Matt was part of this program. Matt introduced Lucy to David. They went on to start a mentor-mentee relationship. I didn't have to do anything. You know, it's just by starting that conversation, having that domino effect, you can have like a massive impact.
Yeah, I really agree with what everybody's just said. I also think it's made me a better person, and I think I'm now a better ally to other communities, because I've received such great allyship and I've changed my mind about different things. So I've now gone on and I've gone to educate myself about other communities that maybe I wouldn't normally be involved in or an ally for.
I think you'd all summed it up perfectly, and I would be the same. I think it, from my perspective, it's given me a whole new understanding of people, and opened my eyes to some of the elements of this world that I really dislike but didn't really understand, and now I can understand them through people's experiences, and I hope help them through those experiences. As I said earlier, I'm not an expert in this area. I may not have stepped in their shoes or walked their path, but getting that trust to hear those things and help them in a way I can is fulfilling, obviously. You know, that's the personal thing, but also it's great to see them grow and see them develop. And I think anybody who's looking to offer or seek allyship, as we said, we'll share details of the program, but I'm pretty sure I can speak for all of us to say, just connect on LinkedIn, drop us a message, and I'm sure one of us can help you if you're looking to seek or offer allyship. So on to our pretty much our final part of this conversation is, obviously, we're here in the present talking about allyship and what it's done for us and the challenges and the great things about it. But as a panel, what do you think the next steps in allyship are? And I'm going to start with Georgie on that one, if I may.
So personally, I would like to see organisations put a bit more emphasis on this, kind of much in the way we do the DE&I education pieces. And I don't think that allyship should be limited to the department that you work in. So it shouldn't be, I work in tech, I should only really seek allies in tech. I personally have allies at throughout the business at all levels, some directors, some down to EAs. And I think all of those relationships are valuable. So for companies to encourage that to happen, because people may not necessarily feel like they can come forward or start them organically. So a bit of a push there. But I think all of us that are already active allies, we need to do more to continue to you know, put that out there and raise the awareness and keep championing it in the hopes that we encourage others to do the same.
And Jag, I'm going to return to the order that we had at the beginning. So please, that's what you think for the future.
There is that bigger strategic nature of it, but I think what we can do more organically, something everyone can do, is give that gift of recommendation. And I love that phrase, because you're seeing that opportunity to say to someone, have you considered getting an ally? This is how it works. This is where you can access or kind of reach and secure potentially an ally as well, given all the resources that we're aware of. But also, I think someone would really appreciate it to say you'd make a great ally. You know, it's far removed from mentor or coach, which can sound, you know, prescriptive. Actually saying to someone, you'd make a great ally for a community, or, you know, and giving them that kind of, yeah, guide and induction, say, this is how it kind of works, you know, this is my experience. Wouldn't that be an incredible thing to do? And then, like Kevin said, it just grows and it can spiral, you know, upwards from there.
Thank you. Lucy, have you anything to add on that subject?
Yes and no. I completely echo what Georgie and Jag have just said. Completely echo that. I think if I was just to add something just a little bit extra, would be for you to go, so anyone that's watching and listening now, is for you to go and do your own learning with it too. So, like, read some books, read our book. David and I are writing a book about allyship that's coming next year, shameless plug. Do those courses. I do courses on LinkedIn and then I share them, so you don't even need to have LinkedIn premium, because once I've shared it, you can click on it and you can get it for free, so there's no excuses. But also to ask, you know, yes, if someone recommends, oh, you'll be a great ally, fabulous. But also, if you see somebody at work and you want to be their ally, ask them. Or just like day to day, ask them. Just say, hey, I see this, that and the other. I'd love to be your ally. Would you like me to be your ally? How can I support you? That's what I would say. Next steps in allyship.
Thank you. And Kevin, that's some tough acts to follow there. But yeah, what do you want to say to the future?
So I'd say, the spectrum of allyship, you've got at one end, you've kind of got setting, like, I'll put myself at one end of the spectrum, you know, setting up a program specifically designed to help other people, or going out of your way to make some proclamation that you are an ally. The other end of the spectrum, when you're starting off, I think it's like I said, the cyclization, it's just about not adding to the problem. When I speak to most women in tech, they don't come to me and say, oh, I want men to do this for me, or I need men to do this for me. It's normally, wouldn't it be nice if men stopped doing this thing or stopped doing that thing? So for me, I'd say the first step is like self-reflection, have an understand and appreciate like what is your privilege? You know, how are you different from the people around you, and how can you use that and leverage that to benefit them? And then just stop doing things which make things worse for people. You know, if you're in a meeting, don't ask the woman to make the notes. You know, if you're in office, don't, like, simple things like that. Just treat everyone equally, and then when identified, when opportunities naturally occur, where you can go, actually, I can add value to that group or that person, like seize those opportunities.
Great, thank you, Kevin. And I'm going to add to that more on the organisational level and some of the work that I'm doing outside of hosting this and so on. In the standards world, we're talking about ethics, we're talking about well-being, and I really want to work in standards about getting allyship in there. Now, that's going to take a long time because standards do not move quickly, but it's something I really want to set myself the challenge of doing. Lucy mentioned that Lucy and I are writing a book. We're going to write that from two perspectives. the male perspective and all the things I've done wrong in the past and all the things that Lucy has seen. And I've read some of the stories and they are shocking. But how they could have ended up, how they should have ended up. And we're going to try and put something together that helps anybody understand the benefits of getting involved and the benefits of seeking allyship, as well as some interesting stories that will amuse, disgust and amaze in equal measure, we hope. But yeah, I think the future is great. We're having these conversations. I'm learning stuff that I'd never really considered before, or had considered it and not understood it before. And I think that is the future that we carry on these conversations. So we've got 5 minutes left of this allyship special. And I want to give our panel a chance just to tell us what's going on in their world. It can be related to allyship or anything they're passionate about, to share that with the audience. So I'm going to stick with the order. Georgie, you first.
So I have finally put into action something that I've been saying I wanted to do for a long time, which is to go into schools and colleges and talk to young people about what their options are. So I have registered as a STEM ambassador. I have done the induction. And I'm going to be working with a charity called Tech We Can to go in and make that a possibility. And it's not just limited to talking to teenagers. You can talk to primary school children, kind of as young as five upwards, and talk to them about tech and how things that they use and they touch every day, what, you know, that looks like in the world of work for when they get older. So I'm super excited about making that a reality this year.
Wow. Amazing. And Jack, what have you got going on?
I mean, I said wow as well, Georgie. Georgie, that's really inspirational. That's absolutely incredible. What's going on with me? So I've had those allyship discussions around career pathways, and I've also subscribed to getting like a career coach. So I've had a couple of sessions which kind of prompted me to get career coaching as well. So I'm really pleased about that. Also on the institute side, so we're still active as the early careers ambassador and active on their member community. So if I can plug the BCS, for any point of your career, it's fantastic for your employability and opens you up to a huge community as well. And speaking about your Formula One mentor, I'm going to a Raceway finals on Saturday. What are the chances, David? But it's more drag racing, so I can't guarantee you a Formula One mentor, but more like a demolition derby one.
Sounds good to me. If it involves motorsport, I'm in. Set me up. And have a great time, and thank you for sharing that. That's great. Lucy, what's going on with you?
So, obviously, contributing to our book and trying to make sure I stick to my deadline of how many words I want to write before I've got a goal that by like the end of November that I've done like 40,000 words. I've only done, how many have I done now? About 11,000. So I've got to get cracking with that. But also just kind of from my coaching business perspective, I'm starting to build out a bit of a program now to give back leaders and allies a coaching kind of tool and a tool set. And I'm going to try and launch, I probably have to do it in the new year now, but I'm going to launch a kind of like a webinar, kind of an hour and a half kind of program to kind of give back a tool around kind of coaching, which will help hopefully people on their way in leadership and allyship.
Thank you, Lucy and Kevin. Anything you can share with us about the program or anything you've got coming up?
I was going to say, did you hear we've got a program? Like, so we're actually having a rebrand of that program in the next couple of weeks. So we launched it 4 years ago with the emphasis on mentoring. And I think it's outgrown that now a little bit. So mentoring is still really important, but we're seeing massive value from these kind of conversations, from getting people in the same room together through networking events and things. So there's a rebrand to the Women in Tech community, which I hope makes it more engaging, more inclusive, because it means that you can come in and be part of it without having to get a mentor or be a mentor. You can just come and be a passive observer of what's going on and get involved in anything that you see and have value. But my one call to action, I guess, given the nature of this call, is at the moment in that group, 20% of our mentors are men. And we know that the industry is 80% men. So we've got 80% of the people doing 20% of the work at the moment. So let's get some more men in the program and sort that out.
Brilliant. Thank you, Kevin. I look forward to seeing the rebrand. So thank you all for joining me today. I think it's been a great conversation. Hopefully those watching live and listening on playback will think the same. Thank you very much to those that have made comments. They've been invaluable and really interesting. Thank you all. And I think for the future, let's just keep banging this drum. If anybody needs to know anything about anything we've discussed in this conversation, we'll be dropping some links into the comments. And also, I'm sure I speak on behalf of the panel to say, just get hold of any of us via LinkedIn. We're all active there and we will all help in any way we can. So thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining me today. And we'll close there. Thanks for watching. It's All About Choices. Goodbye.